I got hairy legs that turn that turn blonde in the sun.
Ew.
Well, that's an image I didn't need. I don't know about you. Hi there. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Little old me, Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host for this, roughly an hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. And I say roughly an hour because if you're on board live via Facebook, the Facebook live stream, it's an hour. If you were listening to the podcast version, which releases after the live version of the show, not so much, because I cut the commercial breaks out for you, because there's nobody sponsoring the podcast, so they don't get your ears. See what I'm doing there? It is a Wednesday edition of the podcast. It's midweek. We're into the coronavirus situation with both feet. Lots of stuff going on. We have plenty of stories to talk about today, and it's really pretty much the only thing in the news is the coronavirus. That's pretty much it. I can't show you video or pictures of of penguins wandering around zoos or dogs playing in the house or things like that or any of the other YouTube creations which have been popping up lately to distract people, but we can do this, and that is to talk about what's happening around the world and in the United States of America relates, I should say, to COVID-19, the coronavirus. And there is plenty to talk about. Plenty. On a personal note, yesterday was another one of those nothing days for me. We are sheltering in place. I say we. It's me and the dog. Dog's taking a nap. It's a... the dog and I are sheltering in place. My wife is at work. And yesterday I mentioned that they were having meetings at her place of employment about who would be working and what would be open and what would be closed. And as of yesterday's meeting, nothing has changed. So while I shelter in place, my sweet wife, Jane, sweetest woman in the world, is sitting behind a pane of glass waiting for customers to come in who aren't coming in because they're all sheltering in place. But then again, excuse me, if they live outside of the city and they come in for service at this particular car dealership, then she'll be seeing people. If not, then it's going to be a long day. And it will only take a couple of these long days without many customers for them to decide, yeah, this is not working. And then they'll close the doors, or they'll alter their hours or something. But as it stands, she's still working, I'm still podcasting, and the dog is still sleeping. So that's the way things are around our house. Today, however, I do have to venture out. I'm going to do another Dawson Now podcast, going across town to the Dawson Now studios, where we will be doing a Skype connection with someone to be a guest on the podcast, because we're not doing in studio guests at this moment, because I'm going to stay behind the wall, the Iron Curtain, so to speak. That's what Scott says in every episode. He calls me the man behind the Iron Curtain, and right now that's a good thing. I'm happy to be the man behind the Iron Curtain. As long as the Iron Curtain is solid and nothing can get through it, then we can socialize without socializing, if you get my drift. But really, when we do the podcast, I'm actually in a different room. I'm sitting at a control board, computer, sound, and all this other stuff, and I'm working on that. Then he is actually in the studio itself, sitting under the lights, and with the I say under the lights. We don't have video working yet, but we're working on that, and he's got the microphones and all that stuff, and he'll be watching a big video monitor. I want to say it's a 42-inch flat panel that's in there with a webcam on top of it, talking to someone in some other part of the country about life, the universe, and everything, and trying to make about a 45-minute podcast out of it. It is going to be a fun day today, I think. One of the projects I'm working on associated with that is adding cameras to the setup so that we can go YouTube live when we record, or just record the video version of the podcast for release on YouTube, and do a live feed from time to time as we, you know, as the mood strikes. But budget for the cameras is not very big, and the more shopping I do, the further away the camera option gets. Let's just put it that way. I think I may have an option that'll fit inside the budget we have, but I'm going to have to buy some equipment. I'm going to have to test with the equipment. I'm going to have to see if I can make it work. And then if it works, hooray for our side. And if it doesn't work, I get to box it all up and ship it back and get refunds for everything because it just won't work. We'll see how it all pans out. I've been doing a lot of research online, looking at various options. And it's something I won't do here because, honestly, why? I mean, I have a webcam in the iMac. I'm actually not even using the iMac for web connection anymore. I'm using the Hackintosh for web connection, and there's no camera on it. And I guess I could hook up a camera to it, I guess. But trust me, you don't want to see that. I mean, it's my studio, which right now in the background in the studio, if I were to set up a camera and lights, I have lights. I have all this. I have everything I need to make that happen. But right now, let me turn around and look here in the background over here. Oh man. It would involve a lot of cleaning up, and I'm not ready to do that. It's a it's a midweek edition of the Daily Perspective. I hope you're doing well. I hope you and yours are fine. If you are among those sheltering in place, well, God love you. It's a big club. I say we get matching jackets. What do you say? Coronavirus 2020. I survived. We got to come up with a logo. I saw a great one today. Early this morning, I saw a post that says, If COVID-19 coronavirus was a tattoo, and it's like two or three rolls of toilet paper and a can of Lysol, rather stylized and fancy looking, but still, that would be the design for the back of the jackets. 2020, I survived, and that logo above it. Oh my, I say we do that. What do you say? I'll set up a GoFundMe. You can send me money. I might buy jackets. It's the 25th day of March, 2020, and in the news today, I hope I get to this story. There's a lifelong Democrat voter whose stuff we've seen a couple of times here recently. She says she's voted Democrat all her life, and that's over. That's over. After she watched Nancy Pelosi's stunt on the COVID relief bill, she said there's no way she can vote for Democrats again. And I can't help but wonder how many Democrats feel that way. I mean, thinking people, okay? Because I don't think all Democrats are vapid idiots. I really don't. I think many, many Democrats are thinking people. They just choose not to think about things. They just choose to let things go by because that's their party. They're always going to vote for it. It's like their family always grew up, or they grew up in a family that voted, or not voted, but rooted for a particular team. They have a pro football team, and everybody in the family, they're all rabid fans of that team, and they're loyal no matter what. The team can suck. It can be awful. It can have never had a victory in years, but they're still rabid fans. They still poll for the team. There's no reason to, except for team loyalty. And that is the same kind of thing we have, I think, from most Democrats. And sadly, from many, many Republicans. They don't think about what's going on. They can't be bothered to look into the details. They just go cast their vote for the D or the R, regardless. But I think what's been happening today with COVID-19, the coronavirus, the Chinese Wuhan virus, and then before that with the impeachment and then Kavanaugh and all of the shenanigans that they have been pulling, that the Democrats in Washington, D.C. have been pulling, leading up to this, where they so completely and totally tone deaf presented a wish list of things that had nothing to do with the vast need at hand. They demanded that these things be passed in this aid bill. Things like funding the Kennedy Center for the Arts. The Kennedy Center for the Arts, just in case you don't know, has patrons, people who fund it. So do museums. Their museums have the same thing, and they had museums in there as well. There are people who fund these things. People with deep, deep billionaire pockets. They're not hurting. And yet, they wanted money for these things. And oddly enough, they kept talking about being for the worker. There was very little worker relief there. There was a lot of relief for the unions, but not so much for the workers themselves. Oh yeah, there was some lip service, but not anything tangible. There is tangible stuff in the real bill. But that's to come. It bothers me that people can still vote and can still blindly say that these people represent their interests. It concerns me a lot about their mental well-being. It really does. Because you can't look at all of this honestly, and you know me and honesty. You can't look at this stuff honestly and actually still support a political party that did what these people just did. How can you? And it seems that overnight, in the dark of night last night, there was a big come to Jesus meeting and things got settled. The White House and the Senate last night reached a late night deal on a $2 trillion coronavirus stimulus package. The White House and Senate leaders, we reached this historic deal shortly after midnight this morning on a massive $2 trillion coronavirus relief package for workers and businesses. Although support in the House of Representatives remained uncertain as one member openly criticized the plan. The bipartisan breakthrough in the Senate capped days of heated negotiations that had nearly been derailed by last-minute demands from House Democrats. Can I just translate that? It was almost derailed by Nancy Pelosi. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, the Republican of Kentucky, said near midnight, "Ladies and gentlemen, we are done. We have a deal." Mm-hmm. We have a deal. Now, much of the work on the bill text has been completed. Over the next few hours after that, they finished up what was left, and they'll be circulating it early this morning. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, the Democrat of New York, said the bill amounts to unemployment compensation on steroids, and that every American who is laid off will have their missed salary remunerated. That provision will enable companies to stay afloat and immediately bring back those employees when things are safe, Schumer says. Now, can I say this before we move any further? You cannot trust anything Chuck Schumer says at all. Nothing. He could very well be severely misrepresenting what's happening here. And then later, when the bill passes and something that he promised is there was not there, he and Nancy Pelosi and the rest of the rank-and-file lockstep Democrats will point their fingers of their bony fingers of righteous indignation at the Republicans and lie again. Still, trouble may be on the horizon. Michigan Independent Representative Justin Amash, who recently left the Republican Party, signaled that he might essentially delay consideration of the bill in the House of Representatives. That lower chamber may seek to pass the legislation via unanimous consent because many members are not in Washington, but a single member can ruin that plan. So we'll see how this plays out. Will Justin Amash play political games, or will he behave himself and be a good little boy? That all remains to be seen. All of the stuff going on, we've reached a deal. Something is going to happen. I encourage you to do some digging today and get facts, because you're not going to be getting facts from the mainstream press. You're just not. What you're going to be getting, especially if you're getting your news from social media, if your buddies, your friends are passing things around on Twitter, they're sending out article links. This happens all day long, every day. People are sending out links to stories, and they do screen captures of headlines and things which completely misrepresent what's actually going on. Example, over the last couple of days, we've been told again and again and again that President Trump recommended that people take a certain thing, chloroquine to fight the coronavirus. And a couple saw chloroquine listed, one of the words listed in the ingredients for a fish tank cleaner. And they took that fish tank cleaner, they ingested it, and it killed the husband. That's not medicine. It's a fish tank cleaner. It's toxic. Clearly says on the label, it's toxic and not to take it. And they took it anyway. But the president never recommended that. Not once. He said, hydroxychloroquine was one of the ingredients, one of the medicines that they're working on approval and testing. There was no recommendation. But the progressives on social media aren't telling you that part.
God bless America.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Thanks for being there. Good to have you along. It is a Wednesday midweek edition of the podcast. We're kind of counting our way down towards another weekend. Honestly, so many folks are already on an extended weekend. It's like, weekend? So? Who cares? Oh, man. God bless you. I hope you're having a good day. Wherever and whenever you may be listening, I hope the day is good for you. It is a, in our situation, in our little world, things haven't changed an awful lot, you know, because my life is all right wrapped around a studio right around here. So as I posted on social media last week, it turns out my sheltering in place life is a lot like my everyday life. Actually, it's exactly like my everyday life. Except that now, if I'm out and about and I've got things to do, I can't go anywhere to get lunch. Not unless I hit a drive-thru. And, oh, man, that should be interesting. I wonder if I'll do that today. I'll have to see if that happens today. My appointment is much later in the afternoon. So, and one of the things I was concerned about when I realized what time that was happening this afternoon, it's at 3:30 this afternoon. We'll finish up between 4:30. It'll be close to 5 o'clock before I'm done. Right at the peak of rush hour. Ah! And then it hit me. No, not so much. Because so much is shut down and so many people have got to be home. And where I'm going, everything is shut down. I'll be going just beyond the city limits of Birmingham. But on the way back, I got to pass through the city limits. And Birmingham's under a shelter in place. So like that's not going to be an issue for me today. So I'm not all that worried about it. Hey, speaking of COVID-19, as long as we are speaking of COVID-19, I think there should be an update theme. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. You want to step back a little, please? Yeah, let's don't stand so close to me. The police from way back in the 80s. Oh my gosh, it's the perfect song. It's just absolutely perfect for what's going on right now. At least I think so. Let's see here. Where were we? Okay. Let's take a look at the details of the coronavirus bill, shall we? Democrats have finally agreed to end their filibuster of the coronavirus aid bill in the Senate, with word of an agreement coming shortly after midnight. The unprecedented $2 trillion economic rescue package aims to shield the U.S. economy from the worst consequences of the coronavirus pandemic. This deal includes the following: direct payments of $1,200 per American adult making under $75,000 per year, or couples making $150,000 or less. People who make between $75,000 and $99,000 will receive smaller amounts. Those making $99,000 a year or above, or $198,000 above and above for married couples, will not receive a check. The income used to determine how much people receive will be based on your 2018 taxes. Officials hope the checks could go out as soon as early April. Whew. Families will also receive an additional $500 per child. A $130 billion cash infusion for hospitals expecting a flood of COVID-19 patients, and billions of dollars of additional relief to be delivered through the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the lead federal disaster agency. $150 billion directly to state and local governments dealing with the outbreak. $500 billion for guaranteed subsidized loans to larger industries, including the airlines. A $367 billion program for small businesses to keep making payroll while workers are forced to stay at home. 4 months of unemployment benefits for furloughed workers, plus an additional $600 per week. Gig workers, you know, Uber drivers and the like, they'll be covered by unemployment for the first time. Companies would be able to defer payment of the 6.2% Social Security payroll tax. Now that sends up a red flag for me. That's kind of like, wait a minute, they're going to, you, but what? Defer, as in they're going to have to pay it later, but they don't have to pay it right now. Okay, bite your lip and hang on, people. If you're on Social Security, it doesn't mean your Social Security is ending. There's not really a Social Security trust fund anyway. It all comes out of the general fund, so you'll be okay. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, in the early hours of this morning, said this is a wartime level of investment into our nation. The men and women of the greatest country on earth are going to defeat this coronavirus and reclaim our future. And the Senate is going to make sure they have the ammunition they need to do it. Responding to this, stocks rose sharply in America around the world yesterday in anticipation of the infusion of aid into the U.S. economy. A vote is expected today. So, there's a lot of stuff in this, and hopefully nothing that Nancy Pelosi's bizarre bill, this weirdo, wacko, strange, bizarro world progressive wish list, this Christmas list that they posted, that they demanded, made all their demands from on Sunday evening, hopefully nothing from that made it into this. And hopefully people woke up and realized, and I know some did, woke up and realized that the Democrats can't be taken seriously. They just can't be taken seriously anymore. When you look at the things that they've done, you look at the lengths that they've gone to, you look at the absurdity, the absolute absurdity of what they claim is reality and necessary. How can anyone, any thinking person, take the Democrat Party or any Democrat politician seriously? How? It has been a mystery to me for years how people can actually vote Democrat. But now, it's totally and completely mind-blowing that people could still vote Democrat. As I said in the previous segment, the only way this happens is because people aren't really paying attention. They're just believing what they're told. Like, people believe whatever people say about things because it comforts them in their opinion, their little world. It's opinion confirmation. It's personal bias confirmation. So they believe whatever is thrown at them. They look at Vox. They look at these other places online, MSNBC, CNBC, CNN, and they believe what they're being told by these people. These rabid talking heads who want to see Donald Trump's head on a platter. All of these idiots who want to sue Donald Trump. They want to see him charged with murder. And I'm not exaggerating. In case you haven't heard, there are people who are making that claim. They want that to happen. The Orange Man Bad Trump Derangement Syndrome is actually infecting more people than the coronavirus is. And you can see it on social media and in the comments below articles. I'll tell you something, if you want to lose your brains for a little while, go to Twitter and just read the comments below any tweet by Donald Trump. I would recommend on a regular day, on a basic, you know, on just on a regular day, that you not do that. Because, quite frankly, there's no need to go wading off into that. I mean, it's like somebody peeled the lid off of the septic tank in the backyard, and for some reason, you want to take a dip. That's a lot what it's like, getting into the comment section below a Donald Trump tweet. Because along with the thanks and the appreciation from some people is the overwhelming filth that comes from progressives. The people who are just spewing hatred. People who are just vile. To a degree that I honestly prefer not to believe is possible in America today. But it's still happening. If you want to see how bad Trump derangement syndrome actually is, that's where you need to go. Just go to Twitter, look for the real Donald Trump, and just look at the comments below anything he posts, and you'll see how bad Trump derangement syndrome is. And trust me, when I said more people are infected with TDS than with COVID-19, I wasn't joking. A lot of people prefer to wallow in hatred and to swim in the septic tank of vile, putrid nastiness than to just be honest about what's happening in life around them.
We know that we're asking Americans to do a lot right now. So we're asking everyone to be selfless for others so that we can protect those who are most susceptible to this virus.
A question I often get asked is, why should young people care about the spread of coronavirus? Well, we know that people with underlying medical conditions over the age of 60 are at highest risk, but they've got to get it from somebody.
Social distancing is really physical separation of people.
It's what we refer to when we ask people to stay at least 6 feet apart.
Not going to bars, not going to restaurants, not going to theaters where there are a lot of people. It all just means physical separation so that you have a space between you and others who might actually be infected or infect you.
We all have a role to play in preventing person-to-person spread of this disease, which can be deadly for vulnerable groups. For more information on how you can social distance, please go to coronavirus.gov.
When I was a child, I thought as a child and spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I took that child out back and had him shot.
Wow. You know, some days I miss that TV show. Talk radio. Yeah. It is the 25th day of March. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast. Good to have you along. It is wall-to-wall COVID-19, folks. I'm sorry to say that. There's really not much else to talk about. As I said a while ago, I can't show you penguins wandering around the park because that's video and I don't do video here. But we can talk about other things. I was just looking over the stats, and worldwide there are right now 438,516 some odd coronavirus cases. 19,656 people have died from it. But here's a stat that you very rarely, if ever, hear. 111,877 people have recovered from coronavirus. 111,877 people. Here in the United States, 150 new cases, 785 total deaths, 55,006 total cases. The number recovered, 379. And these numbers keep changing. The number of cases keeps growing because of testing. Now that testing is becoming more and more widespread, we're finding more cases. And I think, I got to be honest with you, I think that by the time people were notified and by the time that we were told actually to really do something about this, a lot more people were infected with it than we know. And I think that if we could test 100% of the people in the country, we would probably find that most, the vast majority, have been exposed to it, have had it, and that number of recovered would probably be a lot higher. A lot higher. But testing, that's the thing. We haven't had the ability to do the testing. And no, it's not Donald Trump's fault. It's the bureaucracy. It's just the way things have gone. I was watching YouTube, was it yesterday? This might have been the day before yesterday. And trust me, when you go to the news channels, all you see is coronavirus, 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 coronavirus. You're switching channels, coronavirus, this many people do this. This is what people are doing while they're trapped inside. Orange man bad! And that's what you pretty much see if you're flipping the news channels. So I've been watching, I've been catching up. Get this, the inner child geek in me is now completely caught up on the Star Wars, the Clone Wars animated series, because they've got their, they've got a final season. They came back for another season. And so I'm caught up on that. I rehashed the old Star Wars Rebels. Yeah. Yeah, that's me. I'm an old guy watching animated stuff. And so I'm all caught up on that. And I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos, and I'm primarily interested in, like what I did with my little computer here, the little Lenovo, the Tiny 93 that I converted I loaded the Mac operating system onto, and I made a Hackintosh. Followed some directions that I found online, found a YouTube video, and the guy who did the YouTube video gave very good instructions. A lot of it I was already aware of how these things worked, but he also provided the configuration files and the things like that to make this particular computer work. And most of that was right, but I still had to find out what was wrong and why certain things didn't work. Like the Ethernet connection didn't work. I couldn't plug it into the network here. I could go Wi-Fi with an external card, but I couldn't plug into the Ethernet here. And it just didn't. And it's because there was no driver for it, and I had to go find that. Anyway, sound is another issue and such. So I've had to get creative, but it works, and it works great. In fact, let me open it up here. I've got it screen shared on my second monitor, and it just looks fantastic. It's just, and I've hooked it up to a bit. I've got a big, over there where I'm pointing and you can't see, I've got a 4K monitor that I use for video editing. And over there, I hooked it up to that, and wow, holy wow. It looks really, really good on that monitor. So, and it's performing well. It's not gutsy enough to edit video or things like that. Anyway, but it's doing the job. It's recording the podcast, and it's also delivering the video of the podcast online right now. And, for example, right now I can go over here and click the button, and bing, what's on Facebook Live just changed to Lady Liberty with AirPods in her ears. And back again. But anyway, I've been doing that. I've been watching a lot of video. And one of the videos that I watched, I've been watching my YouTube creators. I've got a few YouTube creators that I casually follow. And there was one that I started following a while back when I was watching all of Casey Neistat's videos. A young lady from, I think she's from Texas. Yeah, she's from Texas. Her name is Sarah Deechee. Deechee. It's like peachy with a D. Anyway, it rhymes with peachy. And that's what she says. I'm Sarah Deechee, rhymes with peachy. And she does, she's a consultant. She speaks to groups about tech. She's a YouTube creator, and she's based in New York. And she and her fiance bugged out the other day. It was, when was it? Sunday, I believe they bugged out. And they drove to Dallas to be with her family. And, I think that's, She said they were just looking around at how fast it was exploding in New York, and they said, well, we're out of here. It doesn't make any sense. Sheltering in place doesn't make any sense here because so many people are ignoring it, and they're spreading it around, and we don't want to get it, so we got to go. And in the video, she actually acknowledged that when they get to Dallas, they're going to have to shelter in place. They're going to have to self-quarantine for 14 days when they get there, just to make sure they don't spread it to anybody else there in case they have it, or you know, they haven't developed a lot of symptoms. They don't want anybody else to get it from them. And that is happening around the country in places of denser populations. Some people have chosen not to shelter in place, and they're leaving. New York is a prime spot, and a lot of people from New York are booking flights and going to Florida. People from New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. These places that are so tightly packed with people and the COVID-19 is spreading like crazy, they're bugging out. Well, anyone arriving in Florida from airports in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut during the coronavirus outbreak, those people are going to have to self-quarantine for 2 weeks or risk facing criminal charges, according to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. He declared that in an executive order. This is being reported by CNN. DeSantis, in explaining the directive at a press conference, said, quote, there's over 190 direct flights from the New York City area to the state of Florida, and I would reckon, given the outbreak there, that every single flight has somebody on it who's positive for COVID-19. The governor, who is a Republican, added that health and law enforcement officials will take information from every passenger arriving on flights from those states, including people who are intending to stay with family in Florida. The executive order issued on Monday states that any violation would be a second-degree misdemeanor that could include jail time, a fine, or both. DeSantis said he spoke with President Donald Trump about New York area residents fleeing to his state, which has a much lower rate of the coronavirus, but has not yet received any federal help in dealing with the problem. That's according to the New York Post. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, the poster child for idiocy around the world, criticized the decision by DeSantis, saying, I'm not sure it's the most enlightened approach. Excuse me, Mayor de Blasio. May I just ask you a question? How can you possibly point at anyone and accuse them of not taking the most enlightened approach when you tell everyone in your city to shelter in place and then get out and go to the gym yourself? How can you do that? How can you not lead by example and then condemn people who are actually being real leaders? Oh, I know how you can, because you're a progressive moron. That's how you can. How sad. How sad for this country. There's a study out that says the U.S. economy is going to lose about $7 trillion. Unemployment will skyrocket to 14.6% within 90 days as a result of extreme social distancing policies meant to mitigate the coronavirus pandemic. That's according to a study from Ball State University. The co-authors of the study, called What Will the Next 3 Months Look Like? Simulating the impact of social distancing on GDP and employment by Ball State's Center for Business and Economic Research, said the situation could become even worse. Study co-author Michael Hicks says, these are likely very conservative estimates, yet it argues that job losses in March, April, May, and June may be the four largest in U.S. history, topping the 1.9 million jobs lost in the weeks following VJ Day in September 1945. This level of job losses does not consider the effect of school closures on labor supply by households. This study does not assess the impact of supply chain disruptions on manufacturing, nor does it include the extreme shock to household wealth caused by stock market declines. He added that the study does not consider the broader impact beyond 3 months, emphasizing that policies which speed resources to displaced workers are needed, such as work share and relief from job search, job tenure, and earnings requirements, and should be available for both small businesses and households. Hicks also pushed for policies that encourage extensions to borrowing terms, and said universal basic income payments with fixed duration would provide economic stabilization. And that is your clue to where his mentality is. Universal basic income is a socialist principle. He said that most schools are unprepared for lengthy closure. Efforts to expand broadband connectivity and fund technological options for schools should be part of a broader stimulus bill. Well, the good news is that last night there was an agreement reached. A bill will be going to the desk of the president, and things should be happening in the molasses world of national government relatively quickly. And I hope we all see a little relief. And I hope that we can all get back to normal by Easter, as the president has said.
Respect my authority!
All right, chill. Diving into the final segment of this midweek edition of The Daily Perspective. And it's wall-to-wall Wuhan virus. Yes, indeed. Did you see the story? You know all those people who are raiding the big box stores, raiding the the club stores, the membership stores, like Sam's and Costco, and the stripping the shelves, buying cases of toilet paper, hoarding all that toilet paper, and other people coming in trying to find toilet paper and they couldn't, because people were hoarding it more than they would possibly need in a year. Well, people have been trying to take that stuff back. Whether they're having a crisis of conscience, or they realize they don't need it and they're trying to return some of it. Well, Costco has just told them, sorry. Toilet paper is one of those things you can't bring back. They're not letting them bring the toilet. They're not letting them come back and get refunds on their excess toilet paper. I just take my hat off to Costco. Good for you. Good for you. I have a feeling a great many of those people were also trying to eBay that stuff and realized people weren't buying it. And now they're trying to return it and get their money back. Whoops. Too bad. So sad. Well, you're not hearing a lot about what's happening in other countries. You're hearing a little bit about China. You can't trust it. Let me just tell you this. You can't trust anything that's coming out of China. You just can't. They obfuscated, they lied, they did all. China's responsible for this outbreak and the severity of it, although it isn't as severe and widespread as the annual flu outbreak we see every year. Still, all of this panic we can lay at the feet of the government, of the communist government in China. Well, one place you don't hear about is Iran. Iran is in deep, deep kimchi. They are having a lot of trouble with this. A lot of people are infected. A lot of people are dying. A team of doctors belonging to the Doctors Without Borders humanitarian organization were turned away from Iran, despite a rising death toll from COVID-19 in that country. Alireza Vahabzadeh, an advisor to Iran's health minister, tweeted his thanks Monday to the International Medical Organization, known by its French acronym of MSF, but noted the country does, quote, not have a need for hospital beds set up by foreign forces. Wow. Foreign forces MSF may be, but they are experts at working in pandemic conditions. The doctors wanted to set up a 50-bed inflatable hospital to treat the critically ill. But when it comes to saving lives, Iran appears to be more worried about foreign influences than the life and death of its citizens. On Monday, the Geneva-headquartered MSF said in a statement it was in the process of setting up a 50-bed inflatable treatment unit staffed by 9 emergency workers in Isfahan, the second worst-hit province in Iran. The equipment was airlifted from France and was supposed to have been installed on the grounds of the Amin Hospital in Isfahan. Quote, we hope our assistance will relieve at least some of the pressure on the local health system, says Julie Reverse, MSF's representative in Iran. He goes on to say, we heard the Iranian authorities call for more support to help them cope with the day with the outbreak. And as a medical organization already present in the country, we offered to help with what we believe can provide the most value, assisting with treating the most severe cases. Well, as of this morning, there were over 1,800 deaths from the virus, more than 23,000 infected. Many international observers believe those numbers are much higher, and that Iran doesn't want any observers in the country to contradict the official narrative. Iran will apparently accept financial aid from the EU, but not much else. Yikes. On Tuesday, the Tehran leadership rejected the help while repeating a whirlwind of conspiracies that the France-based NGO was part of a broader spy network and scheming to expel aid from the crippled country. For now, the charity is only stating that the aid is on hold and that they are awaiting next steps. So just how many Iranians will die because the leadership of that country is more worried about foreign influences than they are the lives of their citizens? The people of Iran, under their dictatorship, are dying. On the other hand, there's Sweden, with many governments across the globe opting for draconian measures, including shutting down most schools and non-essential businesses and issuing shelter-in-place orders, measures that have brought economies to a screeching halt. Sweden's government has thus far chosen to take a far more hands-off approach. Unlike most of Europe, Sweden's primary schools and restaurants and bars are open. And they take responsibility. Take responsibility is the phrase of the day from officials. And so far, as reported by AFP on Tuesday, Sweden's less stringent approach appears to be working well enough, with the country reporting fewer confirmed COVID-19 cases per capita than its smaller locked-down neighbors Norway and Denmark. Sweden had 2,272, Norway had 2,566, Denmark 1,577. Prime Minister Stefan Löfven, in a televised speech on Sunday, urged people to take responsibility and follow the government's recommendations. According to the AFP, they took a look at Sweden's softer line in responding to the COVID-19 pandemic and say those include working from home if you can, staying home if you feel sick, practice social distancing, and stay home if you belong to a risk group or are over the age of 70. Like other European countries, Sweden has banned gatherings, but only gatherings of 500 or more, as opposed to the more drastic directives like in Germany, which is now banning gatherings of more than just two. Sweden's government is also advising that universities and secondary schools shift to fully online classes, but is so far keeping primary schools open, though lawmakers have fast-tracked a bill allowing closures if deemed necessary. Also remaining open are restaurants and bars, which other governments, including those in many U.S. states, have fully shut down except for takeout orders. Sweden, on the other hand, still allows some table service. Like other European countries, travel across Sweden's border is barred except for essential travel, but travel within the country is fully open, the government merely advising residents to avoid non-essential holiday trips. So what's life like? Well, AFP says that for many in Sweden, things are pretty normal, with eating establishments and bars in Stockholm full over the weekend and public transportation jam-packed at rush hour. This far more lax approach by the government has drawn criticism from many, but officials say they're simply following the guidance of Sweden's public health agency, which so far has not deemed it necessary to take a more drastic action, and contend that draconian measures are not effective enough to justify their impact on society. Right or wrong, Sweden does not seem to have a worse virus problem than its neighbors, according to the number of declared cases. That's according to AFP, though the agency does note that in Sweden and its neighboring countries, there are likely more cases than have been confirmed due to the lack of more widespread testing. That's true everywhere, by the way. Meanwhile, more and more states in the United States are imposing stricter measures. So far, at least 16 states have issued stay-at-home or shelter-in-place orders, and many cities and counties have implemented similar mandates. Restaurants and bars are being shuttered all over the country, and about a third of the population now living in areas in which takeout orders are the only real option for eating prepared meals. The current list of states that have imposed stay-at-home orders include California, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, Washington, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. President Trump, who's been pushing the mantra of 15 days to slow the spread, has increasingly signaled over the last few days that he's leaning towards lifting the lockdown mandates more quickly than some health officials say is necessary due to the massive impact that they are having on people's jobs and the economy. Yesterday, President Trump tweeted, "Our people want to return to work. They will practice social distancing and all else, and seniors will be watched over protectively and lovingly. We can do two things together. The cure cannot be worse, by far, than the problem. Congress must act now. We will come back strong." And the good news is Congress appears to be acting. If you're a praying person, I would pray that Congress act with sanity when the bill goes back to the House of Representatives, because the Democrat-controlled House has been known to be less than sane. And that's all for today, for this Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Have a great day. Stay safe. Take care of yourself and your family. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.